You know, to get the Bulls to leave the arena, it's a lot like dealing with a 15-year-old boy that's got a bunch of girls around him. You know, you can say whatever you want, but he's not paying attention to you. And so sometimes you've got to go out there and you've got to actually act as bait.
Hey, I'm Gabriel Spitzer. This is Sound Effect, and this is J.J. Harrison. He lives in Walla Walla, and he's one of the region's more famous rodeo clowns.
You need to kind of let the bull think he's going to run you over, and then what you do is you use your amazing Okanagan High School athletic ability, and you run to the outgate, and the bull will chase you into the outgate, and he'll leave, and you jump up on the fence and look like the star. So I'm in Hobbs, New Mexico, and the bullfighters are struggling to get a bull out. So I went out, and I got a bull's attention. I ran, and I almost got him to the outgate, and the son of a gun turned off. So I went out, and I got a little too close to this bull. And as I was leading him out, as I turned to run, I stepped down into a horse footprint and fell down. Now, when you fall down directly in front of a charging 2,000-pound bull, there's a lot that goes through your head. Everything seemed to slow down. I just remember thinking, this could be the end. I thought, he's obviously going to run me over. There's no way I can stop this bull. So I rolled to my back, and that's about all the time I had. And I put my arm up, and I for some reason, thought I was going to have some kind of Marvel strength to be able to just put my arm up and stop him. I do not have that strength. He ran right through me. Got a massive contusion in my arm. He stepped on my foot and broke it. We went knee to knee, fractured my kneecap. But he didn't hit my head. I hit my head. So I put my arm up. He hit my arm. I punched myself in the face. The advantage that I had was that the bull had so much speed built up that he couldn't get stopped to really stick me with a horn. Because I don't wear pads. So if a bull steps on me, I'm lights out. It's over. And it made me think just how much, you know, I really need to be careful in my job. I sprung right back up. And of course, every medic wanted to talk to me. But I knew the bull riding still had to keep going. We had about six more bulls. And I knew the second that I shut down, the second that I stopped, they were going to pull me. They were going to take me out. So I ignored him. I pretended I couldn't hear him yelling at me. And I just stayed out there and kind of made jokes about getting run over, made fun of myself. Again, that self-deprecating humor. And so I left the arena. Everybody felt like I was fine. I don't want somebody seeing me get hurt. I don't want a kid watching me. Everybody wants to see the clown get run over until I get run over. Into the bull riding, I kind of slunked off. They forgot about me a little bit, and I crawled up on top of these speakers. Anyway, the next thing I remember, they were lifting me off of these speakers. I'd passed out. And you know, the thing about my job and the thing about, rodeo in general is I had a flight out of Albuquerque at 7 o'clock in the morning. It was a 5-hour drive from Hobbs. So I finished that. They woke me up. I said, thank you. I got my check and I drove 5 hours to get to the airport because I got to keep going. If we get injured, there's no check that comes in the mail. If we get injured, there's nobody that says, hey, we're going to take care of you for a couple weekends. So my income, my life is based on my ability to work. So when I broke my back up in Canada, I did it on a Sunday. I had a bull hit me, threw me about 12 feet in the air, stomped on me. I braced it up and did a rodeo Thursday in OMAC.
Our rodeo clown, J.J. Harrison, wasn't exactly born into this line of work. He comes from a family of teachers and lawyers. He did grow up loving rodeo, though, and tried his hand at some of the classic events. Still, as he was finishing college, he was headed squarely for a straight job. He told us how his clowning career unfolded and why, in spite of the punishment he takes, he keeps bouncing back.
When I graduated from college, I had a pretty serious girlfriend in college, and it was kind of that, okay, now we have to grow up. So I hauled my horses with me and I still roped a little bit, but I really did shut the door on rodeo. And I wanted to throw myself into whatever I was doing with all of my heart. And that was going to be a school teacher. And I just dove full, just head first right on into teaching. And, You know, here's me in a nutshell. I would get every kid to come in and do SSR, which stands for silent sustained reading. They would come in and we'd try to get the kids calmed down. I'd get them all deathly quiet. They'd be reading their books. I would stand on top of my desk and drop a dictionary. And, you know, it'd be sound like a bomb going off and scare every kid to death. I just giggle about that. And I kept them on their toes. And so what I would try to do was educate by using some entertainment. I think as human beings, we don't know what our passions are until later in life. We don't know because we just try so many things. We just do so many different things. And then all of a sudden, there'll be an itch. Something will just keep bugging at you. This is who I want to be. It's a feeling that burns deep down inside you. And I think cowboy always came back to what I wanted to do. But I am a screwball. So it kind of reared its head on a Halloween joke. I dressed as a rodeo clown for Halloween. And a friend of mine, a coworker, her daughter was married to a stock contracting buddy. And so they mentioned it to him. And he called me and said, you know, hey, have you ever thought about being a rodeo clown? And I thought, don't those guys wear makeup? And yeah, they do. No, thank you. You know, I'm not going to wear makeup. That's ridiculous, you know. The more I thought about it, I said, all right, I'll give it a whirl. You know, I'll do it. All you do is come up with three stupid things. And, you know, I'd been to enough rodeos. I'd watched enough rodeo clowns. But I wanted to just be myself, just be goofy. And, of course, the first one I ever did, I was the opposite of that. I had these three drawn-out acts, and I was trying so hard to have a dog that shrunk down into a smaller dog and all the corny stuff. Every corny rodeo clown thing you can think of, I was trying to do it. And they would all fall apart. And what made the crowd appreciate me was my ad lib. You know, for me, it was just fun. In 2008, I was getting big rodeos were calling me. And a guy named Glenn Miller from Sisters, Oregon, called me and he offered me the rodeo down there. And I said, you know, I'd love to, but it's the last weekend of school and I can't do it. I'm a school teacher. And he said, you know, I'm going to tell you something. We'll call you once. We don't usually call back when we hear no. And so that really resonated with me, was that, you know, if I want to do this, now is my opportunity. Now is the time. And so I told myself that if I could make my teaching salary in my 2.5 months of summer rodeoing, that I would feel comfortable to step away from education and I'd be able to equal what I made teaching school. Our main product is the rodeo. It's the bareback riding, the bronc riding, the tie down rope, and the bulldogging. And of course, our, you know, frosting on the cupcake is the bull riding. Everybody kind of knows bull riding or has heard of it. My job in this whole little excavate is to fill the lulls. And it's crazy, though, how much of the main show I can really be if I want. And I've done this. I can take over a rodeo. I can give the crowd so much of JJ that that's all they remember. Because I'm not out there just for 8 seconds. I'm not out there just for a short amount of time. They see me for 2.5-3 hours. So, you know, they can relate to me. They feel like at the end of the rodeo, they know me a little bit. My job in the bull riding is to be the guy that gets hit. In that barrel is the idea. It's a custom-built barrel. So inside of it, mine's made out of aluminum. It's probably about 5 feet tall. You jump up, get down into it. It's got padding. My new one's got about 6-inch padding inside it. And people will always ask, what does it feel like to get hit by a bull? It feels exactly like getting hit by a Dodge truck. You might not break anything, but you're darn sure going to feel it. And you're darn sure going to hurt yourself. And I've had bulls do funny things. In Sisters, Oregon, I had a bull hit me and knock me clear out of the arena. It hit me and started hit me, and I was rolling across the arena. And then the funny, what was great was the bull stopped, and then he rolled me right into the out gate. They just closed the gate, and everybody said, go! You know, I've had numerous close calls where bucking horses will run right past me. You know, I've been knocked down by rodeo queens. I've been knocked unconscious. So you're constantly trying to keep your head on a swivel. And then you're trying to have longevity in your career. You know, that's the thing. The new guys that will come out, they've got this rodeo, rough, tough cowboy. I'm a man. That kind of mindset, those guys aren't going to last very long. The guys that are going to last a lot longer are the ones who see this as a business. They see this as their career. They're going to take the risk, but it's going to be calculated. If I'm going to get in that barrel and I'm going to pack that barrel in, it's because I'm going to save a cowboy or I'm going to protect one of my bullfighters. I'm not going to do it just to go in there so I can get hit and everybody thinks I'm tough. You know, that's cost me some things. That's cost me some ridicule from some other rodeo clowns. And you know, I just generally, when I take grief like that from another rodeo clown, it's because they're sitting at the couch at their house while I'm working. So it doesn't bother me too much. I love the crowd. When people ask me, what's your favorite part of your job? It's the crowd. Every single time. Doesn't matter if I'm in Stonyford, California, or if I'm in Kissimmee, Florida, or if I'm in Hilo, Hawaii, or Denver, Colorado. It doesn't matter. Every crowd member is the exact same, because you're going to have somebody who's never been to a rodeo and somebody who's been to 70 rodeos. And if you can win both of those people over, I feel like that drives me to keep coming back. And I've done this job long enough now that I'm starting to get the stories of how I've really inspired people, how I've really changed somebody's life, how I really brought them through a low time. And just with my comedy, just with my, you know, I had a guy that was going through a divorce. I didn't know him. I don't know him at all. I came to the trailer, visit with him for 15, 20 minutes. And he sent me a message. He was contemplating suicide. And it just, my zest for life brought him out of a dark place. I mean, I teared up. You know, I teared up when I read that on Facebook, of all things. He sent this to me. And, you know, so those moments keep somebody like me driving and keep somebody like me inspired. But they also keep me very humble that I have this great life, this great wife, this great kids, great family, great house. But rodeo gave all of this to me. The entertainment industry gave me all of this. But it could take it all away just like that. So you got to be mindful of it.